The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Peace is such a subjective and many times an elusive goal to obtain. We have seen over the past days and the past weeks how fragile worldly peace is. Now we know that, but sometimes world circumstances make that even more evident. Peace can come and peace can go. For instance, right where you're sitting this morning, or afternoon if you're watching during video chapel, what would it take for you right now to be peaceful? I think of that question in my own life, and what would it take right now for me to convey to you that I am at peace? What would happen, or what would have to happen, to give you right now where you're seated a quietness of heart and of mind? What in your life would have to change right now to bring you to a place of peacefulness? Do you have anything on that mental list of yours? I have a whole number of things. I think for most of us, there is indeed a list of not just one or two items to bring us mental peace, but there are many things right now that are causing us worry, that are causing us consternation, that are causing us a little bit of angst, or even for that matter, things that are causing us trouble. We live much like Martha. We're careful and we're troubled about many things. Therefore, we bear the qualities of life that show us how careful and distracted we are. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, and they choke out the word. And what happens to us when that happens? We become unfruitful. Consider this past week for a moment. Multiple things have occurred over the past 8 days, specifically in relation to this campus. You had 11 different services called Bible conference. And you had a break from classes, to be sure, but you were here, gathered here in this auditorium, in this building, where 11 different times you were able to hear from four different men messages from God's Word. Then after that, you headed right back to classes again on Thursday and Friday. And then you had Sunday school, and then the morning service, and then the evening service on Sunday. But there's a lot of other things that happened as well. There are world situations that occurred this past week that would cause us to be unpeaceful, that would give us a lack of settling, some angst, and some consternation. There are papers and there are projects that are due, quizzes and tests that you're taking this week that cause there to be trouble in your life. There are things going on back home that are causing you to deal with these difficulties and circumstances. There are things happening with your friends and your family maybe that's here that is causing you angst. And so like Martha, we live right where she does. We are troubled and careful about many things. And when that happens, you and I have the possibility of allowing those things in life, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things to enter in, to choke out the word of God that He desires to hide in our heart. And in doing so, we become unfruitful. There was a lot of planting and a lot of watering that occurred last week. Specifically when it comes to spiritual planting and watering. God gives the increase to be sure, but we are responsible for that ground upon which the word of God fell. You think back to that special session we had on Thursday when Dr. Horton was able to be here, and you're able to hear the testimony of a man after so many years looking back and passing down the wisdom of his years and the walk with God that he had, and you add that to everything we heard of the Word of God, and it's very easy to be dismissive and say, well, that happened last week. But can I tell you right now, as you get into this new week with all that's going on in life, there is the real possibility of that which has been planted in your heart to become choked out. I mean, that happens in my life as well. I am just as susceptible to allowing the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things to choke out the Word of God, which was planted and watered so freely as I heard it. I'd like for us to take a look at a man whose faith I admire greatly in Scripture. We'll take a look at a specific instance in his life, and not to uplift the man, but definitely to see how this man viewed his God and the fruit that came from it. You see, throughout the Scriptures, we're told about a number of folks that who had the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. They had that temptation to allow those things to enter into their life and choke out the Word where they would become unfruitful. The entire Old Testament is a testimony of those believers who, having not received the promise of the Messiah as far as seeing him, they received it, they embraced it, we're told in Hebrews 11, as they walked in faith, they embraced it, and they looked for that day that they knew they would not see. We think of Daniel. The book of Daniel and his message was one of instruction that God's promises are sure and steadfast. As Daniel began to prophesy, especially in Daniel 9, he was told to make the children of Israel, to cause them to understand things. Haggai's message was one when the children of Israel were back in the land. After Daniel had given how many years would be before the Messiah would come, Daniel knew that he would not see the Messiah's coming to earth. He knew that. He would not see the ministry of the Messiah, Christ. He knew that. Haggai, as he was there helping and encouraging the children of Israel to build the temple, Haggai knew that he would not see the coming Christ. We're told that because Daniel 9 speaks about a number of years before the Messiah would come. And yet these people were busy building the second temple. Haggai's message was one to give the children of Israel confidence to fear not. Zechariah knew he would not see the coming Messiah, but he prophesied that thy king cometh. There will be a day when the king comes, Malachi, to fear the name of the Lord and to make sure their hearts were right, ready to receive God. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Luke, chapter 2. Few individuals reflect this testimony of having received, not having received the promises, but seen them afar off. Few individuals reflect that being persuaded of them and embracing them as this man in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, the singular man in the city of Jerusalem in the temple, a man by the name of Simeon. We're told in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, just when it comes to his walk with others, devout in his walk with the Lord, but he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, verse 26, and he received, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was told before he died, he would be able to see that one that Daniel desired to see. He was going to see the one that Zechariah longed to see when he prophesied, thy king cometh. When Haggai was telling the children of Israel to consider their ways, for there will be in this small new temple that you've built in no way in comparison to the massive building that Solomon's temple was. But as Haggai was there helping build that smaller second temple that Zerubbabel was in charge of, it was his message, Haggai's message, that said, children of Israel, as you're building this by faith, understand that the glory that will be in this temple is far greater than Solomon's glory. It's this Messiah, the Christ in verse 26, the Lord's Christ, that Simeon would get to see with his own eyes. He would be able to behold the one that was promised to Adam those thousands of years previous, when in the garden the Lord was judging Adam's sin and promised to that adversary, Satan, that serpent, that there would be a seed of woman that would crush the head of the serpent. That one that Abraham looked to, that all families of the earth would be blessed. The one that Joshua trusted in as he entered in the promised land and defeated Jericho. All of these people in the Old Testament longed for the day to see the Christ, but they knew they would not. And then comes the message and the promise of God to Simeon that he would not, in verse 26, see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. To be that one individual that was promised, you will not die before you see the Messiah. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The promise given to Simeon was that he would not face death before he sees the Lord's Christ. Now, 2,000 plus years removed from Simeon, I'm thinking to myself as I just peruse the scriptures and I think casually about this, he was able to see Jesus of Nazareth. He was able to behold Jesus. He was able to see all the miracles that Jesus did, and he was able to hear the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm reminded here that that's not the Christ that Simeon is beholding. What is or who is the Christ that Simeon is beholding here? It is Jesus of Nazareth, but it's not the Jesus of Nazareth that's doing any teaching. It's not the Jesus of Nazareth that's working miracles. It's not the Jesus of Nazareth that is causing the demons to be cast out of individuals. He is looking at an infant. The Lord promised Simeon he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How would you take that promise? I know how I'd take it. I'm going to see the Messiah come. I'm going to behold the Messiah. And I would think that having looked at an infant, month and a half old, wouldn't cut it. What does a 1.5-month-old child look like? Now, I know to every mother they're cute. What does one look like? They kind of all look, generally speaking, somewhat the same. Their feet can fit in the palm of the hand, not just with their finger, but in the palm of the hand. Their feet fit right there. They're not saying anything yet. They're having a hard time having their eyes focusing on objects. They're not smiling and they're not giggling. They're crying. They have no way to walk on their own. Not in a month and a half. Now, unless you have a real super baby, they're not walking on their own. They're not crawling yet. They are completely helpless. They are completely defenseless. They have no way to survive on their own. A child that's a month and a half old is completely and totally dependent upon the care of others. This is the Lord's Christ? Think for a moment the context of Simeon's life as he lifts, in verse 28, this child. He takes them up in his arms and he blesses God. Think for a moment. He is holding the Messiah. The Messiah is not holding him. The Messiah is resting in the comfort of his arms. He is not resting in the arms of the Messiah. The Messiah is hearing, if we could put it this way, the words he is speaking. He's not listening to the words of the Messiah. The Lord had promised that he would see the Lord's Christ. That was the promise given to him, and he would not see death until that happened. Would you be satisfied with this? I'm thinking that maybe I would not. I'd want to see. I've been waiting. I've seen children before. I've seen infants before. There's nothing special about this one. There's no light that's shining down from heaven. The angels aren't visibly attending to where the world can see the Messiah has been born. There's no loud proclamation and shout of trumpets as the Lord Jesus is being brought into the temple. Now, that happened on the hillside about a month and a half ago, but there's nothing now. The shepherds had done well in Bethlehem getting the news abroad that the King of the Jews had been born, but there's nothing happening here as Joseph and Mary bring that child into the temple. And yet here is Simeon, who was told he would not die before he sees the Lord's Christ, and he takes that child, that infant, who cannot speak, who cannot talk, who cannot perform any miracles, who cannot walk on his own, who cannot proclaim the message of the gospel, who cannot defeat any governor of any land. He takes that child in his arms and he blesses God. And notice what he says, and here's where I'd like for us to focus today. When it pertains to this matter of waiting with peace. In verse 29, he says this, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Do you realize what Simeon just said there? This matter of waiting in peace, this matter of having peace while you're waiting, what Simeon is saying here in verse number 29 is, I'm content to go home now. I don't need to see all the great works that this Christ will do. Lettest thy servant depart in peace. What? No. I long to see the days where the lame are going to walk. That's prophesied in the Old Testament. The lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see. They'll have their sight returned unto them. People's health will be restored. I long to see that capital P prophet that Moses spoke about, that he will speak the things of the Lord. And for that to be a Moses to be a type of this Messiah, he must be a great man. I want to see his word. I want to hear his teaching. I want to see him rule and reign. But that's not what Simeon said. Simeon was content with the promise as God gave it to him. Lettest now thy servant depart in peace. He was looking upon an infant, yet he saw that infant as the Lord's Messiah. He was so fully persuaded that that defenseless child would accomplish what was needed, Simeon could pray to the Father concerning his own departing. Simeon did not need to see the finishing of the transgression that Daniel spoke about in Daniel 9. Simeon didn't need to see the making an end of sin that's spoken in that same chapter, or that reconciliation for iniquity. Simeon didn't need to see the bringing in of everlasting righteousness, or the sealing up of visions and prophecy, or the anointing of the Most Holy. Simeon didn't need to see any of those things that were spoken about in Daniel 9. He saw the Lord's Christ and he believed that that was the Messiah, and he was right. When it comes to this having peace while we're waiting, I'd like for us to look at four principles from this passage, from this prayer, concerning Simeon's peace and that peace that you and I can have. In verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. We find first and foremost when it comes to the principles of peace in our life that peace comes by trusting in the fulfillment of God's word. Whether you and I will see it or not, we must trust that God will fulfill his word. Whether or not I'm there to see it accomplished, I'm satisfied in just knowing that God promised it. Think about that for a moment. Simeon was satisfied in just knowing that the promise was there in front of him. He didn't have to see its fulfillment. There's a lot of things in your life, in my life, that God has promised for us that we'll not see until we reach an eternity. There's a number of promises that are given to us as God's people that we will not really understand until our eyes close in this life and they open in the life which is to come. And so very much like the Old Testament saints, you and I believe the same way. We believe in one whom we've not seen. We believe, yet not seeing him, we believe and we love him, and that ought to engender in our lives a sense of peace. Peace comes by trusting the fulfillment of God's word. Look in verse 30. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Peace also comes by trusting in the completeness of God's provision. When Simeon looked at that child in verse 30, he understood that that was God's salvation. You say, how did he know? He believed God's word. Well, it didn't look like it. Everything about that child didn't scream King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything about that infant didn't show the bringing down of nations and the rising up of others. That infant couldn't do, in the sense of being a 1.5 month old, that child couldn't do anything to bring about a world order. He couldn't teach a person. He couldn't heal anybody. It was a 1.5 month old infant that he was looking at. But he believed God at his word that this child was the Lord's Christ. And he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now think for a moment about what you expected when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What did you expect would happen in life? I know we're told in Scripture that in this world we'll face tribulation. So we understood when we trusted Christ as our Savior that life would not all of a sudden become easy and all the doors of success would open wide for us and the world would bow at our feet and we would be able to go through this life living as kings and queens. I hope that's not what was expected. But I do think for most of us, there was an understanding that there would be the acknowledgement that God is with me and I would be able to see these things in my life and I would be able to have successes that would help encourage me in my walk with the Lord. That there would maybe be some differences in life that would occur. As Simeon looked at the salvation that was being offered through that infant, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, he was content to say, this is the Lord's salvation. Now, I don't know what all is happening in your life, but would you be able to, with a genuineness of heart and with praise to God, be able to tell others about the salvation you have in Christ in the midst of your life circumstances now? Would you be able to look at a lost person and as they peered into your life and as you mentioned the gospel and spoke of them about all that God has done for you, would you be able to praise and honor your Heavenly Father by saying, this is the salvation that God has given to me? It's not quite what I expected. I wasn't expecting the news of my health. I wasn't expecting what was going on in my life. I wasn't expecting this to happen. I wasn't expecting that to happen. But I can tell you this, this is the salvation that God has promised to me, and I am at peace with it. But it's not at all what I expected to see. Peace comes by trusting in the completeness of God's provision. And sometimes we have an understanding that, well, God's provided in this area of my life, but he hasn't provided in this area yet, but I trust that he's going to. Well, that's a wrong way of thinking, isn't it? It's not that God hasn't provided yet. It's that God already has perfect provision for today is what you have today. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. The salvation that you have today and all of the events that are in your life are perfectly given to you just as God promised he would. His provision's complete in your life right now. Simeon understood that in verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Peace comes by trusting the fulfillment of God's word. Peace comes by trusting in the completeness of God's provision. Look in verse 31. He says, that salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, peace comes by trusting in the perfection of God's work. Think about the government that was over these people right now at the time of Christ's birth. Oh, we know the Herod that was over. We know the rule that he had, the massacre of countless untold numbers of children. He was a ruthless leader. And yet, as Simeon looked at this child, he said, God, this is who you have prepared before the face of all people. That was the Father's preparation. When you and I understand that who we are in Christ, we are complete in him, is there ever anything then that's missing? And the answer is no. You're complete in him. As you are in Christ, you are complete. And we ought to be able to look at our lives and say, Lord, you have prepared me in a sense before the face of all people. I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and I am here to glorify the Father through that. And as Simeon raised up that child, which he prepared, God prepared before the face of all the people, it was not what was expected. But it was perfect. Think about all the works that God did in the Old Testament. How many of those were expected? How many expected to cross the Red Sea on dry ground? How many expected Moses to hit a rock and out of it water would flow? How many folks expected 10 different plagues in the land of Egypt? How many folks expected that when sin occurred in the garden that God would provide a way of salvation the way he provided it? Nobody expected the works of God. But what they did do is they trusted in it. And here as we look at Simeon's peaceful waiting, for him to be able to say, let now thy servant depart in peace. I don't need to see all that's going to occur, for Father, I know that it is your perfect work that's accomplished this. You prepared your son before the face of all the people. And then look in verse 32. Peace not only comes by trusting the fulfillment of God's word. Peace not only comes by trusting the completeness of God's provision or by trusting the perfection of God's work, but look in verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon understood and was able to say, let thy servant depart in peace, because he trusted in the extent of God's goodness. Think about this for a moment. This is the epitome. This is the crown of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. This was the promise that was made way back with Abraham. Out of thy seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. It was Abraham's name that was made great, not just his name as far as when he was alive, but the fact that a child from Abraham's seed would come and would save the world from their sin. This was the crowning achievement for the nation of Israel. But as we look in verse 32, Simeon first says this. This is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon understood that the extent of God's goodness was not only to Israel, but it was to the entire world. Psalm 145, verse 9 says this, "The Lord is good to all." See, well, there's a lot of people that don't deserve it. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Child of God, this morning, the Lord is good to you. Peace came with Simeon by trusting. It was a faith response by trusting that God's goodness extended to everybody. And as soon as you and I view somebody else as not worthy of God's goodness, how far does that reasoning go before we realize that we are not worthy of God's goodness? Well, it doesn't go very far. That reasoning doesn't, but we must understand this. Whether you're worthy or not makes no difference to God. He is good to all, and it's his choice. You've been through a lot of preaching this past week. There's a lot that you have coming up, midterms coming up in a week or two. A lot of things happening this semester. Don't let the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the lust of other things choke out the word. Look at the fruitfulness of Simeon's life. The Lord was able to lead him to an infant who was the Messiah, the Lord's Christ, and he was content to see that infant. Lord, I am at peace with whatever you want to do in my life now. I don't have to see the end results. I'm satisfied with your perfect work in my life today. May that be said for each one of us.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.